One of the questions I hear pastors wondering all the time is, when is the right time to do church announcements? Well, you really have a few options, beginning, middle, and the end, but we have one more that we want to share with you. Stay to the end, you can check it out. In this episode, we'll talk about when your church should be doing announcements. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 98. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Ian. Not much, man. Excited to chat today. We're going to be talking about when churches should be doing announcements in their services. This is one of those age-old questions, and I'm sure that if you've been in ministry for any length of time, you've probably wondered, hey, are we doing announcements in the right spot? Like, when in your order of service do they belong? We're going to be talking about that. We'll talk about the pros and cons of each of the places to put them. And here's kind of the spoiler. It's beginning, middle, or end. Those are kind of the three options. And then we have one, I guess, hybrid approach. We'll talk about it towards the end there. But we'll get into the pros and cons of each one of those there. Yeah. But I think it's important. I think it's a really important one. I think it's going to be a different answer for every church. But I think that announcements are one of those things. They're kind of like the one of the hardest parts of a church service to get right.
Yeah.
I know that's something that at churches that I've pastored, it's always been a struggle that we've had.
Yeah.
Because we want to deliver them the right way. We want to make sure everybody hears them, but we want to not disturb the flow of the service and all those kinds of things there. So it is a really important question, I think. When does your church do announcements, Ian?
Yeah. And, you know, every church is different. My church, as I've mentioned before in other episodes, you know, larger church, very large church. Yep. So a lot of production, a lot of stuff that goes into the whole service, but we would be, I guess, considered the middle because it's after worship, before the message. Now, we have video announcements, and then we also have, you know, someone that comes out even not just the pastor, but someone before introducing our pastor that will also make announcements verbally. So we have it on the screen and verbally.
But Double announcements, nice.
Yeah, well,
video and in person.
Yeah, we don't double it every time. I just mean sometimes it'll always most certainly be on the video. Things coming up and all of that, and then if there's, you know, one or two that need to be stressed or something like that. But so I guess we'd be the middle. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. We are too. At our church, we, not as large as your church, but a medium-sized church, and we're a middle, mostly, kind of a church, sometimes video, sometimes in person. Yeah. I would say that probably, the majority of our audience probably is a middle announcement.
Yeah.
Because I think that's probably just, in our experience, the most common thing. I think with more mainline churches, you'll often hear it at the end. That's kind of a common way to go. But, you know, I think that there's not a right, it's not that evangelicals should do it here and Presbyterians should do it here and Baptists should do it at this time. It's just not, that's not how it works exactly. So it's going to be different from church to church. And I think that there's, again, this is why we're doing this, is there's pros and cons of each. Why don't you kick us off and tell us about the beginning?
Yeah. So I guess it's the, you know, pros and cons of doing it at the beginning of the service. I think, you know, maybe one of the pros would be, you know, it's they're hearing it first. We know that there's been a lot of studies on when people remember something, it's something that's mentioned at the beginning, or it's like the beginning of a story if you're reading a book, or at the end. So that's what like most studies will say. I learned that in public speaking in college, that, you know, you always want to have a good intro, right? Because and that's what's going to, you know, be remembered. And that first thing that you talk about, that should be one of the more important things. So while that's true, the cons could be, you know, a lot of people show up late at churches. Yeah. And I think in today's day and age and culture, that's even more common than it used to be. Of course it is. People are, you know, they're busy, blah, blah, blah. They got other stuff going on and they kind of come in at a certain time. So I think that's one of the comments, one of the cons is that, you know, people could miss it if you do it at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And it's like, I don't know, like, if that really is a con or not, like, because if people are showing up late for church, I think most churches probably do worship first.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it's like kind of saying, is the announcements more important than the worship? I mean, I don't know. It's like they're both really important parts of the service there. So it's like, I don't know if I want someone to miss something. Is it announcements? Is it worship? Yeah. Is it the sermon? Yeah. Well, I'm a pastor, so it's definitely not the sermon, but it's the other stuff. Stuff is fine to miss. But yeah, I think it's one of those challenging questions there. I've always, I think you're right that people always are, they'll always remember that thing that they heard first. That's the same reason, like when your kids want to tell on somebody else, one of the other, their brothers or sisters, they'll try to be the first one to tell mom or dad, right? Because that's always the one that kind of sticks with the parent. Uh-huh. And it's something we have to try to resist that way. But I think it's just a natural thing. The thing that you hear first in service, it's something that you remember there. So I do like it there. I do like that. I do think that another challenge is for a guest is announcements putting our best foot forward, right?
Right.
Like if someone's there for the very first time, you know, there a lot of studies say that people have already made up their mind by the time they sit down in a chair, whether they're coming back or not, just based on the experience they had with meeting people and walking from the parking lot and doing all those kinds of things. But if that still is up in the air, our announcements are best foot forward. Or like put it this way, like would you rather have a visitor experience a service and experience some parts of your worship or maybe your message before you invite them to get involved or go to an event or something?
Yeah.
I think there's a case to be made that maybe for visitors, I'd rather have the announcements later in the service. So those are some of the cons that I see with that one there.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Let me talk a little bit about the middle, which again is where I think most of our audience will probably land, is that they're in the middle and having it, they start out with some kind of worship. Maybe there's a little greeting that goes in with there, and then they'll have the bulk of the announcements right there in the middle of the service. I think this is a great way for a few reasons, is that one is that it makes for somewhat of a natural transition.
Yeah.
I know it's often hard for a pastor who maybe they're going to be speaking and they're starting off their message with like with some kind of a funny anecdote or a joke or something to kind of get people, as Spurgeon
break
says, get them rolling in the aisles and then kick them in the teeth, right? So get them laughing and get people kind of engaged that way. If you're coming out of like, you know, you just did like an intimate worship song and everybody's, maybe their hands were raised, they're all very contemplative.
Yeah.
If you roll out there with a joke right then, you know, that isn't really good for the mood in a lot of ways.
Doesn't
sometimes
fit.
That announcement section, it can help someone kind of pray out of worship, transition into something a little bit more lighthearted, and then hand it over to the pastor. So it's a good spot for video announcements and those things to happen. And so I think it does make sense for a lot of people. Now, on the downside, there is also for some churches, it's not good to kind of break that flow of worship.
Right.
For some speakers, maybe you're if you had planned this, coming right out of worship and people in a very introspective,
like
ready to do business with the Lord, as we would say, it might be nice to have them in that place when you're about to go and deliver your sermon there.
Right.
So I think that there are some definite downsides to that at the same time, but I don't know. What do you have to add to that?
Yeah, no, it's making me think of my church, you know, and I'm a part of a spirit-filled church, not, you know, no one's barking or running laps or swinging from chandeliers, but the worship emphasis is a big deal. People's hands will be raised. People are standing up. And I guess what I kind of like is that, you know, even though I might be in that reflective state or coming out of worship, you know, it's we're a series oriented church too, right? So we're we're expecting the speaker to come up and, you know, when the worship is kind of transitioning into the message, you know, people can take a seat for a second and their attention can be on, you know, the announcements before the speaker comes up. So I've always liked it that way because it's, you know, I'm kind of transitioning and it's kind of that one little whole thing, you know, before we get into the, it's kind of like coming, just made me think of this, after eating an appetizer and then, you know, then you're about to go into the meal, right?
To the main course.
That's right. So, yeah, so I think that that's what comes to mind with it. But again, every church is different. But yeah, I'm with you.
I think part of this too, I'll say this, and I want to be cautious. A lot of this is just our own tradition and just what we have become used to. I don't know that I've ever been a part of a church for any length of time that did announcements other than in the middle. I'm from an evangelical background, and that's what I've grown up in. I'm sure I've heard it at different times on occasion, but you know, that's just part of what we're used to in things. And so if you are used to something totally different and you know, you think that that we're wrong about some of this, let us know in the comments. That we'd love to kind of hear some other thoughts and why you like it in a different spot there. But again, we think there's pros and cons. So I don't know. Maybe you have a, you want to tackle the third one?
One at the end. I'm actually glad I have this one because, well, I'll talk about the pros first. But so pros and cons of announcements at the end of the service. So we all kind of know the saying, end on a high note, right? You and I talk a lot about calls to action. Just like at the end of every sermon, you know, it's good to have a good call to action to allow someone to respond to the message, to make a decision for Christ, you know, to have that. Same can be said with your announcements, to kind of end on a high note and a call to action. And the thought with the call to action is that they may be more likely to go sign up for an event that you just announced because it was right at the end of the message. They've been encouraged, you know, they were inspired by the worship, they've been encouraged by the message. Then you announce your events or whatever it is, and they can respond, right? So I think that's a pro to it, and giving them a call to action. Now, the cons make me think of my church. if we were to do them at the end, so our pastor is a bit long-winded, and goes and so though a great
most
speaker,
of us are
course but though a great speaker and preacher and enjoy the messages, it gets to that point where people are kind of ready to go, and they know when he's gone overtime, and they know how he's going overtime. There's signs of when he's going to go overtime. And then on top of that, being a part of a large church, getting out of the parking lot is, I mean, people lose their salvation in our parking lot, so to speak.
Really?
I'm kidding. They just,
it wasn't like that when I visited. How long does it take to?
Well, so we have a new building that, as you know now, and it's a very circular parking lot. You have to go in a circle. You come in one way and you leave one way. And they, our parking lot team, who does a great job, you know, they let out a certain amount of cars at one driveway. If you have kids like we do, you're actually worse off in the parking lot, because when you get out, you are behind everyone that is getting out of the front of the church. So you get out. So there are some people that are trying to beat the traffic. And again, when I say people lose, I mean, I'm wondering how some of these people's reaction. I'm like, did you just listen to the message and all of a sudden you're acting that way? So it's pretty funny. But for our church, again, based on that and the length of service, people are ready to go when it's over.
A very small part of our audience has traffic problems exiting church. I mean, I'm not saying it's unheard of, but I still think that it's the same thing. And that when the sermon's over, I think you have to remember, especially if you're there for the first time, you're not used to the order of service. People are kind of like, okay, like they start to check out right then. Like I've thought about it, or maybe they're thinking about the call to action in the sermon and they're not really, maybe you want that. Yeah. You want them to leave on that note of still thinking about that. Yeah. I've always been a part of churches where we do one final song at the end to like take some time to reflect more on that. Yeah. And I think to move over to announcements instead would be momentum killing after the call to action in the sermon there. So, to me, I'm a little bit, I think there's some challenge with that, but I do like some of the ideas of it too. Yeah. Kind of, it's great for the flow and leaves people with a call to action too. So,
yeah. And I like that you mentioned the majority of people listening are, they don't have the parking lot issue like we do, but I guess my main point with all that is attention span at the end of the message. And no matter if you have a 20 member church, there's some people that are just ready to go eat and get out of there. So that's my thought on it. So
yeah, that's good. Well, let me share this with our audience. If I was pastoring, if I was planting a church now, let's say I was planting a church and we had what we were a few years in and we had 150 people. So just maybe our average size of our audience. And and when we talk to our audience, that's kind of what we see as our average size church there. I would probably do what I would call a hybrid approach of all of these. And so what that means is when the sermon, I think there's an advantage to doing something in the beginning. Yeah. And so I think that means I would start every service with some kind of a greeting. Yeah. So have someone get up there or, you know, I think it's best in person. Someone, I don't think this really works well for video, but maybe like a host for your service to get up there. We've talked in other episodes about how it's good to tell people how long they're going to be in service. So we would say, hey, you know, you're going to be with us for about 75 minutes or so today. We're going to do some worship. We'll have a few announcements to make, and we're going to have a sermon that we hope is relevant to your life. Kind of talking about what's going to be happening.
Yeah.
So start off the service with, I guess in a sense, that's an announcement, or it's like at least a greeting of some sorts.
Yep.
And then after worship, going into the sermon portion, I think that's where you have the lion's share of your announcements. So this is where you would talk about opportunities to get involved, places that people can go for events, things that are happening, men's and women's events, all that kind of stuff. So all of your typical church announcements. I will say, and we should do a whole episode on this, on what's what is announcement material and what isn't. You need to do fewer announcements. Like the audience, you guys, you almost certainly do more announcements than you should. I would say if you, like, it's nothing wrong with doing one announcement, like one main key thing. I would even think there's an advantage to doing one announcement. If you're doing more than two, if you're doing six different events because you announce your you announce everything 7 weeks in a row leading up to it because you get more response that way, you've kind of trained your people to not really listen to your announcements because they know they're just going to hear it again for the next 7 weeks and every single time going forward. So I think you do the lion's share of your announcements and you really try to limit it to the things that have to be said. And another, I'll say this too, another litmus test is we always run the test of, is this relevant to the majority or at least half of our church?
That's good.
So you shouldn't do announcements to the whole church if it only affects five people or if it's only... Now, sometimes you can tell testimonies about that if you're starting a ministry that is for parents of kids who have learning disabilities, for instance.
Right, right.
It's a testimony. You can tell those kinds of stories, but you don't want to announce seven times in a row that we have something for a new ministry we're starting for parents of kids with learning disabilities, because it's not that it's not important.
Right.
It's just that it's not something that affects every single person in your church there. So,
correct.
So number one, make sure that you're limiting the number. Number two, make sure that they're they affect everybody, but you hit it right in the middle of the service there. You talk about those then. And then afterwards, after the sermon, kind of in closing, I think a quick reminder, hey, last chance again, reminder, last chance to get signed up for Vacation Bible School. We'll see you on the way out. You know, something really brief as people are leaving and departing. I think that makes sense. So if I were to say kind of what I would encourage for our most of our audience, the right way to do it, I think this hybrid approach, it makes a lot of sense. I would do it if I was planting or pastoring a church right now. That's kind of the route I would go.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good point. And I think the main takeaway from that to me and hopefully to our listeners is just that, you know, every church is different, right? So, and segueing to kind of how we wrap all this up is when to decide to do them. You got to know your church, right? Know your audience, know the order of your service, your worship flow, all of that. And I think every church kind of knows about how many new visitors they get on average. You think about all of those factors. And, you know, even though you and I, we kind of prefer at our church and we probably prefer the middle, that doesn't mean that's going to be right for every church. Right. Yeah. So it really just depends on the church. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that that's exactly right. I think I'd say a couple things as we close is that, think about your visitors, right? Yep. So I think that and we preach this all the time, is that healthy churches, growing churches, I'm not saying that I'm not like doing a pro seeker sensitive or seeker movement kind of statement,
right.
But I think it does make sense to think about the people that have never been in your church before and what will be the best approach for them. So I would say definitely keep them in mind. The second thing, and this is, I give you this as a word of caution, is that it's important to Well, if you make a change here, there will be people that talk about it. It'll throw people off. If you move from announcements in the middle to announcements before service, you're going to have people come to you and say, I didn't know that was happening this week because they missed it or they weren't really paying attention or they're used to kind of just getting settled when they first walk in. Yeah. So there will be people and they'll come and tell you, we pastor churches after all, like they'll come and tell you and they'll let you know what they think about it. And that's just the way that it is. But be bold, you know, take those things. You don't want to be changing it every week. You don't want to have it at the end sometimes, beginning on times. You probably want some kind of a liturgy consistency that you follow.
Yeah.
But you know, try it out and be bold. And I think that there's a lot of advantages. Pray about it and let's see what God does there.
That's awesome.
Anything else as we finish?
No, I think that's good. I hope this has been helpful to our listeners and maybe it, maybe there was that church out there and that pastor that was like, man, we're really struggling with this. So we hope it helped.
I've been there. I've really wondered. I've pastored several churches and every single one, we kind of wonder, are we doing it in the right spot? So hopefully this was helpful. If it was, take a second to leave us a comment. If you have any feedback as to where you do yours and why it works for you or why you think that we're dead wrong about doing it in one of these areas here, let us know in the comments below. We love all kinds of feedback with that there. We love to start a conversation. So also, if it has been helpful to you.
Comment about my church parking lot.
Comment about your church parking lot. Yeah, that's a good idea. Ideas for better parking flow at a church there. I went to Saddleback Church like 20 years ago. I visited Saddleback. Yeah. They have I think you went there once too, maybe.
Yeah, I did.
They have like a 5-lane road going in and out of the church when you pull into there. So
it
sounds like maybe you guys ought to talk about that at your church there. So anyway, if it has been helpful to you in this episode, rate, review, subscribe, let us know in the comments down there below. We want to thank you guys so much for being a part of our Reach Right family, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.